Hello, good morning, and welcome to episode 116 of Life Song Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks, along with Phil Ramsey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back into another week of the program. We have officially hit December, and we are on a beeline for Christmas.
We are. Mm-hmm. We are in the last chapter of Galatians 6.
Yes.
You think we'll get through?
Before the end of the year?
Could that be the Christmas present?
It could be.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Not very many verses in this one, so we might be able to get through in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. What are you going to get me for Christmas? Same things you got me last year?
I'm going to get you the same thing I've gotten you every year since you've been alive.
Wow.
Goodness. Yeah.
I tell you, I've been sick all week. It's about to drive me crazy.
Is you full of sin?
Yes.
Well, listen, man, before we get started, I know you had a big weekend last week.
We didn't
get a chance to talk about it last week, and we got done recording, and I thought to myself, man, I should have brought that up, but I didn't. But you preached last Sunday.
I did. I preached at Beaver Baptist Church. It's the church I actually got saved at close to around 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my good friend, Shane Hartsfield, he is the pastor there. He grew up in that church also. He's been a missionary in China for the previous 10 years. And God sent him back home, and he's been at Beaver Baptist. And when he got back, I told him, if you ever need anything, just holler. And that's what he did. He hollered.
He said, Phil.
He left me a voicemail one day. He says, Phil, I'm going to be out of town, and I need you to preach. And I says, in the flesh, I says, no way. But in the spirit, I said, amen.
Yeah.
So I was actually excited to do it, and I've got a lot of people, a lot of relationships with people that go there, and it's just a good fellowship, and he is pretty much starting from the ground up, you know, as far as the foundations and going through the Word. And anyway, I was excited to go back. We had a great time, and maybe after we get through with Galatians, I might play that recording from that day, and if you will allow that to happen, producer
Jimmy
Hicks.
Well, this is half yours.
Okay.
I've listened to most of it.
Yeah.
I've still got to finish it, but what I have listened to is powerful. It's a lot easier to preach in a room full of people you don't know than it is in front of a lot of people that you've known for years and been to church with or grew up with. It's a lot harder to preach in front of family and friends.
Well, you know what, though? Here's how I feel. I can talk to 100 people easier than I can talk to 2.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you, I don't know, I wasn't there, but you were probably... I don't know. I know you, and you went over an hour. So
watch your mouth.
So you probably were a little bit nervous about just getting it all in and getting finished in time.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Well, that weighs on you. That does, especially if you've got a lot of information that you want to get out there, which is my problem this week. I'll be preaching today at Crossway, and I've got so much information that I hope to get it all in, and you don't want to leave anything out, but sometimes you just know you can't fit it all in.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, listen, we're going to jump into Galatians 6. We wrapped up chapter 5 last week, and we'll get it all kicked off next. And hopefully within the next few weeks, we'll wrap this book up. So stay with us. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Galatians chapter 6.
I've been praying for the day when we'd be walking side by side. Love was in hiding till heaven's timing paved the way for you and I. Now I can't believe you're mine. I've been waiting all my life just to find someone like you. Love you caught me by surprise. One look at I just knew stories, but this one is for me. It's perfect, darling, did you know? start, you stole my heart, and you won't ever let it go. I've been waiting all my life just to find someone like you. Love you caught me by surprise. One look and I just knew it had to be you. No one else can love me like you do. Eternally I'm yours, you know it's true. Nothing in this world could ever change the meaning of forever me. Just to find someone like you. Love you caught me by surprise. One look and I just knew it had to be you. Oh, oh, oh. It had to be.
Welcome back to Life Song Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks along with Phil Ramsey, and we are ready to jump back and dive back into Galatians. We'll be in chapter 6 this week. We wrapped up Fruit of the Spirit last week, chapter 5, and we were on that for a couple, two or three weeks, because the Fruit of the Spirit, just a big biblical text in general. It's one of those ones that I rank right up there with Galatians 2:20. I rank it up there with John 15. Mm-hmm. I rank it up there with John 3:16, and John chapter 3, I guess, as a whole, not just 3:16, but so there are just those certain biblical texts that you look at and you know are pretty big deal, and that was one of them we had to spend a little bit of time on.
Right. I would say if we had to give a topic to today's lesson, I would call it Restoring a Sinning Brother.
Mm.
And we're going to look at what happens when there's sin in our lives and how we should and how we should not address it. Okay. All of us are sinners. And so there are times when I need to address Jimmy, but there's times Jimmy needs to address me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we could say that if you look back, Jimmy, since we've known each other, since you've been saved, we both have confronted each other with error in our lives.
We have, absolutely.
Me to you more than you to me.
But we have. And you know what? I was talking to Buffy Cook day before yesterday about this very same thing. I said, man, just think about it. I said, is it not? We were talking about someone else, a mutual friend, and that we know that doesn't have people in his life. Not because he couldn't, but because I guess he refuses. And I said, man, I couldn't do this without you and without Phil and without other guys in my life that I rely on for just for everything. And I think you feel the same way. Is, you know, it's we might correct each other and we might come to each other, but it's not in a way where friendships would end. It would be in a way that it's receptive. You know what I mean?
Right. Well. And it's done for a purpose. There is confrontation, and what I'm saying, I don't know anybody who likes confrontation, but it has a purpose, and that confrontation is for ultimately for there to be restoration. So in order for restoration to happen, there has to be a confrontation. So, and I don't know of anybody that really likes to do that. Right. I mean, if you have sin in your life, It's uncomfortable for me to go to you.
Right. Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
For you to go to me. And
it's uncomfortable for you to come to me if I know I'm harboring or trying to hide or whatever. Even if it's not trying to hide sin, if I just know I'm sinning, it's uncomfortable from both sides.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's start by reading, I don't know, let's try the first six or seven verses.
You need to start it. 5:26, and then go
that's
through
true.
Maybe 6:6.
It's one thought. So that was a point that I was going to make, is just because the chapter in chapter 5 ends and chapter 6 begins, it's a thought that's continued. And that's something that I think we've, I don't know if we've ever spent any time on it, but there's really no rhyme or reason why there is the breakups. And I could go back through the history of the Bible and tell you and explain to you the years and all the stuff that this happened. But just know from a big picture standpoint, there's no rhyme or reason why the chapter breaks and the verse breaks happen the way they do. There were people that added those later.
You know, before you read, I was reading Proverbs today, and I say this quite often, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Think about that. Faithful are the wounds from a friend. You need to remember that next time I come to you.
Next time you cut me deep.
What is it? Better is a wound from a friend than a kiss from an enemy. So if you never confront, do you really love your brother? I don't think so.
Phil, I've been meaning to talk to you.
Can we do this after the radio program?
No.
You want to do it on the radio live?
That's right.
Confront my sin.
All right, starting in chapter 5. Verse 26, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, with each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. That's through verse 6. We'll stop there. We'll pick up if we need to, if we get through it. But I think we got a pretty full load with those six verses, because they're jam-packed.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time we have. We thank you for your precious, precious word. May your Holy Spirit guide us and teach us this morning. Lord, we pray for the folks that are listening. We pray that your Spirit will move in our hearts also. Again, we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Well, who's a sinner?
Who is a sinner? Everybody.
Okay, this is going to apply to everybody, then, isn't it?
Well,
we just got out of John. You know, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Then James 3:2, it says, we all stumble in many ways. So, we're all sinners, and we must address the sin. What sin must we address, Jimmy?
Which sin? All of them.
That's it.
That's right.
Sometimes we wait for the big ones to come. Who around here is committing adultery? Who around here is a drunkard? Who around here is a drug addict? Let's try to find those.
Right.
And when those arise in the fellowship, let's deal with those.
Because those who are cohabitating and,
yes,
and that type of thing.
I don't think we address that. But
let me, well, no, we don't. But let me tell you, the thing that we let go is and I noticed this. And hey, I'll be honest. I'll be transparent. I am not afraid to point out sin in my life, because being transparent is what keeps you, I think, honest. And I'm willing to do that. I say things that I shouldn't say sometimes.
Amen.
And no. And I'm not making a joke. I say them in front of you. And what does Phil do? Lets it go. I'm serious. If Phil says something that he shouldn't say, what does Jimmy do? Let it go. Maybe even laugh. We shouldn't do that. Absolutely.
Are you preaching to us this morning?
I'm preaching to everybody, but I'm saying that's what we do. We let the things that we consider in our minds small things, we let them go because we're waiting for the big things.
Things in other people's lives that we can point out.
That's right.
We're going to deal with that today. Guess what this word's going to do to Jimmy and Phil today?
Cut us.
It's a two-edged sword, and it's going to get us today, because when I was studying and reading this, I'm like, well, I got to repent. Because I have sinned. I really have. I've sinned. So let's break it down a little bit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another.
You know, I think that's a when we talk about envying one another, I think sometimes that causes division or even grudges between friends, because if I envy you in spiritual matters, then I'm not happy with what God has planned and deemed and set forth for my life and ministry. And we all have ministries. Don't just get caught up on me saying that. Each and every one of us has a ministry if we're believers. And we're not, you know, if I envy what Phil is doing in his life, if I envy Phil in the way he approaches believers, if I envy Phil in the way he teaches and preaches and shares the gospel and whatever he does, then I'm saying that I'd rather be doing what he's doing, and I'd rather have God's plan for Phil's life rather than what God has set forth for me to do.
Mm-hmm. We should really evaluate our lives first, mm-hmm, before we start evaluating somebody else's.
That's right. That's why Jesus said, take the plank out of your own eye before you start looking at your brother. Verse 1 in chapter 6, brethren, if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted.
Jimmy, one thing we need to kind of make clear off the get-go is we're talking about sin with the brethren. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about sin outside the fellowship. We're talking about people that have been born again. That's what we're dealing with today.
Yeah, we're not talking about lost people who've never come to know Christ. And look, you know, I just read, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, that would lead you to believe that you catch a man who is sinning and you catch him. But that's not what the text says. That's what this text says in the version that I'm reading. But the original language, that word caught is more along the lines of overtaken. And listen, this is really, really big. The word overtaken means to be run down by sin. So it could mean somebody who is not even looking to sin. Mm-hmm. You know, it could mean a person who is actually even trying to flee from sin, who sees it come into his life, and he tries to flee from it, but the man is not spiritually prepared to deal with it. So, I mean, this overtaken is a lot bigger than looking at it as being caught in sin.
Right. You think about the woman at the well. It also says she was caught also. So I agree with you that on this specific verse here, I think what you said definitely applies.
Right.
Can you be caught in sin, in the act of sin? You better believe you can. Can you be overtaken? I mean, there's things that people deal with that it overtakes them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a guy, it could be pornography.
That's right.
They're not, when they go home and they're alone, you know, they're looking on Google, whatever, and next thing you know, something pops up. Look, flee it.
That's right.
Don't fight it, flee it. But then they get wrapped up in it, and it overtakes them. So you just have to be on guard with your life and with your eyes and with your ears, and you can get caught up in it big time.
Yeah, and the idea here is not that these believers didn't sin deliberately. That's not the idea, because every sin is a deliberate sin. But you can be overtaken, like I said before, you're really spiritually prepared to deal with it. And really, I go back to the statement that I made just a few minutes ago about having folks in your life that you can rely on. You know, I might not be spiritually prepared to deal with certain sins that might come into my life and really attempt to overtake me. And I might not be prepared to deal with certain sins that might come into my life and attempt to overtake me and maybe even be successful in overtaking me. But if I have a group of brothers, which is what this is talking about, surrounding me, then I can call on them and they can, you know, help. It's why it says later on, bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. So you got to have people that you can call on, even when you're not able to do it, and say, guys, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I'm not prepared. Help me.
Most people, this is my opinion, are not going to do that. If you're struggling with sin, the last thing you want, if you're in sin, the last thing that you want is somebody else. Now, I ain't saying it don't happen where you don't cry out when people have needs or they're in sin and they need help getting out. A lot of times when you get in sin, you don't want anybody to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have to know each other. And that requires time, spending time with one another.
That's right.
Also, you read here, you know, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? So what does sin do in the church? It affects everybody. We think it only affects the individual. The Bible says it affects everybody.
And it only takes one person who is caught up in sin or overtaken by sin, who is not willing to let somebody help them that can overtake the entire body.
I don't think we...
Or affect the entire body.
I don't think we really see the reality of that. Mm. Jimmy, I don't know of too many churches. There's a right way. We're going to get into this, but let's just kind of summarize it and think about this. When there's sin in the church, in the body of believers, when I say church, I mean those are individuals. When there is sin in that, and we don't address it in the right way, and we're going to talk about the right way and the wrong way, just like we just said then, a little leaven messes with and jacks up, redneck terms, messes with and jacks up the whole loaf. What happens when we overlook the sin? And like we said in the right at the beginning, we're talking about all sin. We're not talking about the top five that we put in our top five.
That's right.
You know, drugs, adultery, drunkenness. You know, what about these other things that we just kind of let go?
Let me tell you, let me just put it to you like this. There's something that we have neglected and failed to do as I don't want to say as a, well, maybe the American church in general has gotten to this point, but we don't practice church discipline the way we should. And so what should happen is I'm in a position as a pastor, so I'm considered to be a shepherd and I'm an associate pastor. So there is a chief shepherd, which is Buffy Cook. And if Buffy and I both, who are overseeing and looking over and watching over the flock of Crossway Baptist Church, notice that there are members who happen to be in sin, or a particular member who is caught up in sin. If we don't deal with that, if we don't go to that brother and attempt to restore him, then like Phil says, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And so what happens is, if they continue to do it, then the process is to take more brothers with us, and then if they still don't repent and are restored, then you bring them before the entire body of the church. And then you just continue going until, you know, maybe you have to put them out of the church. Here's the reason that you do that. Like Phil is saying, your main purpose is to restore them. Your main purpose is to get them to a place of repentance, to restore them. But if that doesn't happen, then you cannot subject your entire flock to the sin. Because if part of the flock sees, well, you know, pastors know that so-and-so are living together and they're not even married, and they know it, but they're overlooking it, so they're not going to care if I do this or if I do that. Well, then eventually, before you turn around and look, next thing you know, you've got half your congregation living in sin, and you're not dealing with it, it's a cancer.
If you do that and you preach from the pulpit, that's why people call the church hypocrites. They say one thing with their mouths and they live a different way. Hypocrite.
Yeah.
And they're right.
That's right.
So we have to deal with that. You were saying a verse. Let me just read it. It says, if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So what does that mean? That means when a brother sins, you go to him. You go to him, why? To restore him.
Because you love him.
Because you love him, and God says do it.
That's right.
So you restore this brother. If he refuses to listen to you because you went to him, then you take another, two or three. And then after that, if this lifestyle continues with no repentance, you bring them before the church, and then You excommunicate this person away from the flock because sin affects the whole flock.
That's right.
So it's Jimmy's job as a pastor, okay, to excommunicate this person with the whole reasoning that they may repent and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be mean, but God says don't even associate with them.
That's right. And you attempt to restore them, and if they don't listen, then you've got to go through the steps that the Lord has set forth in His Word. And the world would say, well, man, that's not being, Jesus is forgiven, and Jesus wants to forgive, and Jesus is the one that said, do it this way. So, listen, you know, we've got to be faithful to what the Word says, and it's not about picking on somebody or being mean to somebody or kicking somebody out of, quote unquote, church. It's about protecting the flock which God has entrusted to you. And I'm not even talking pastors here, but yeah, and I am talking to pastors, but I'm also talking to other folks who are in the church. You should be understanding of that. So if you see brothers, you go to them, you tell your pastor, and bring them into the mix, because it is the responsibility of all of us to restore people, to restore our brothers and sisters, and to repentance, not so they not live in sin.
Right.
Because what happens when you're a saved person and you're living in sin, God says that if you don't repent and you're not restored and you continue to live in sin, then He'll cut your day short. So He may vary, you know, you could be saving a person's life.
Yeah. The word restore means actually to repair. It's like if a bone is broke, you know, to restore, to build back, to put back together. So that is the whole reasoning behind going to a brother, is to restore them back, not to be mean or not to, you know, there's a plan for all of this.
Well, we got off on church discipline and all that. And you know, that may not even be what we're looking at. Well, we are kind of, sort of, but I think the biggest direction that we're going here is just brothers bearing each other's burdens. Because, you know, the biggest thing to you, most of the time, what's going to happen is you're not going to find, I would venture to say that if we would just take the uncomfortable step of confronting our brothers, we would see that even though it might be a little uncomfortable, you're not going to find very many people that you have to excommunicate from church. What you're going to find is what Paul is saying in this text, is you're going to find brothers who are going through struggles, and then that gives you the opportunity to bear their burden with them and help them, because they do want to be restored. So, you know, church discipline, yes, if need be, absolutely you have to, because you have to protect the flock. But chances are, if you just take the uncomfortable step of confronting your brother, then it won't go that far.
I was watching a pastor the other day who actually abides by God's word when it comes to church discipline. And when he taught this to his, he went there, and it was about 400 members. So he's sticking to the script of what God says. Well, they weren't used to that.
They didn't like it.
And so he said we had 400 people there when we implemented that. And he said that he had the people come to him and said, our church will end up shutting down. And now they have thousands of people, and they still do it.
Mm-hmm.
They still do it. And he said they don't do it. They don't have to do it often now, because they've got the foundations right. And he had one guy that came to him who was living in sin. And the pastor told him, he says, look, he said, I'm going to start meeting with you. So I think the first step when it comes to restoring is you go and pick them up.
Right.
Second step, you walk with them.
Uh-huh.
You just don't go tell them they're wrong.
Well, it's
and
like
slap them, right? You shouldn't be doing this, and elevate yourself. You pick them up, and then you walk with them. So he did this with this guy who was living in an open sin, and he struggled with it. He says, okay, we're going to meet every week, but every time you sin, okay, I want you to write it down. Mm-hmm. Every sin you do, you write it down. And then when we meet every Monday, you bring the paper. We're going to go over each of these sins. So he came back Monday, and there was only a couple things written down. And so the pastor says, well, this ain't right, you know, because we're all. He says, why don't you have anything written down? He says, just to be honest, I didn't send that much because I knew I was going to be accountable to you. And so he says, well, you should do it because of God, but this is a start.
Right.
And so it ended up growing. The guy grew. He got involved. He said, I need you to be here every time the church doors are open. You need to get surrounded by the right people. And, man, this guy's living a victorious Christian life now.
Yeah, I read a story I was telling a friend of mine last night about a – this is kind of changing the subject, but it just goes to prove that, when you stick to the script, you stick to Scripture, God honors that, and God grows His church. I read a story of a pastor in St. Louis who went to a new church on the outskirts of St. Louis, who had about 150 in the body when he took the job, when he was offered the job. And so he takes the job, and he starts implementing biblical principles in the church because they were more traditional than they were biblical, like most churches that we know today. And he starts implementing the biblical principles, and he tells the deacon body when they hire him what he's going to do and what it's going to happen. He said, I'm telling you, people are going to leave. But this is what we've got to do, and they were for it. And so they dropped from 150 to 60 within 2 months.
Wow.
That many people left the church. 70, 80 people left the church. Within 24 months, they grew from, or they went from 60 to 600.
Really?
So they lost, cut the weight that needed to be cut, but then people God began drawing people to that church because of the biblical principles of Scripture that he was standing on.
Amen.
That's right.
I think that's true. We can't go wrong.
Right.
We should do this with gentleness. We've seen this word recently, right? Mm-hmm. Fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So when we go to restore, brother, we do it with gentleness. So that tells me right off the get-go, who is the one that goes to the brother to restore him? The ones that are filled with God's Spirit.
Well, that's what he says, you who are spiritual.
Yeah.
So you are walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, don't. Just leave it alone. Because you actually need them. You need them to come to you.
Yeah.
So, sinners, those who are caught in sin, basically, what's being said here is those who are overtaken by sin don't need someone else overtaken by sin coming to them to restore them.
Mm-hmm.
You need those who are walking in the Spirit, who are every day following the Lord,
well,
or living by the Spirit.
And you just quoted the verse earlier. It says, get the log out of your eye before you go get the speck out of the others.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you address something, somebody, the first thing they say is, don't judge me, or, you know, get the log out of your eye. Well, what's God say? He says, get it out of your eye, then go.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't that he said, don't go. He just says, you deal with what's going on in your life, and then you go to your brother, and then you help him deal with what's in his life.
Yeah, people out of fellowship can't help other people out of fellowship get back into fellowship. Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason all this is connected. You know, like I said earlier, there's no rhyme or reason that we have chapter separations like we have in the Bible. So there's a reason that all this is connected, you know, from the end of 5 to 6, the deeds of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit, and this, the restoring those. So Paul, what he's doing is he's talking, he gives the fruit of the Spirit, and then he says, all right, those of you who are walking in the Spirit, you need to go to those who are
walking fleshly.
The list that he just gave,
mm-hmm,
of those people who are walking with, you know, living in the deeds of the flesh, those who are doing that, you are full of the Spirit, need to go to them and restore them.
Right.
It's a reason this is all connected.
Right. Well, let's move on. It says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ.
Mm.
For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load. There's a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
Bear one another burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. What do you say about that, Jimmy?
Well, I think it's an act of love. Those spiritual Christians that he's talking about, those who are spiritual, those who are walking in the Spirit, for them to bear the burden, and usually a heavy burden, of other folks, of other Christians who happen to be caught up in sin or overtaken by sin, bearing those burdens is an absolute lack, an act of love. Because, you know, even though we can cast our Psalms 5:22 says to cast your cares upon him, even though we can cast our cares and our burdens on the Lord, we should be able to cast them on our fellow believers as well.
Yeah. Listen to the saying here from one of our friends. If you think you're a nobody, you will always try to be a somebody. If you think you're nothing, you will always try to be something. But if you realize you are everything to the most important person who has ever lived, then you can volunteer to be nothing, and it will be no threat to you whatsoever.
Hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Hey, listen to this. The words one another, which is bear one another's burdens, the words one another in the Greek means another of the same kind.
Mm-hmm.
So, believers bear other believers' burdens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's saying. All right, and bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So the law of Christ is what? Is what I just said, is love.
Mm-hmm.
Is love. You know, this is a contrast to the legalists and the Judaizers that this book has been talking about the whole time. Those who want to kind of go back to the law and want to go back to the law of Moses. This is an opposite of that. Paul says, in effect, look, if you legalists want to carry legal burdens, then try the burden of Christ, which is love. John 13 talks about it, mm-hmm. 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this we'll know that you are by this all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
So a believer that loves other believers who might be struggling, who may have fallen into sin, they always have their best interest at heart,
right.
Their restoration. And that's true love.
Yeah, the law of Christ is the law of love. You said it. It fulfills all the rest of God's law.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to a heart issue. We were talking about that before the broadcast. It's back to the heart.
Yeah.
It's back to the heart.
That's right. I tell you, and something to remember here, and I think we talked about it just slightly. Remember this. And if you agree with what we're saying, which I hope you do, when you go to apply this to your life, if you haven't, remember that criticism is not love. You can't go criticize another brother for being caught up in sin. Yeah, they may have been fallen to adultery or pornography, but when you start to criticize their decisions and choices, understand that sin can overtake you like we talked about. And so if you start to criticize somebody, you're not picking them up and you're not helping to restore them. All you're doing is tearing them down and breaking them apart, making them feel worse about themselves.
And you got to realize that this could be you tomorrow.
That's right.
I had a guy I was talking to a while back who was dealing with some stuff. And I told him, I said, look, man, you're dealing with this, and I'm not. But I could tomorrow. And if you need somebody to walk with you, brother, I'm here. I'm here. So it can happen to anybody. Nobody's beyond falling in to sin. So you got to check your heart when you go, because you know this could be you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
That's what it means to be the... Man, to have fellowship not only with God, but when we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another, and we live life with one another, and we carry each other's burdens.
Hey,
that's what it means to live the Christian life, to be the church.
Am I my brother's keeper? Yep.
Mm, sure.
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
You are. Jimmy's just staring at you. Are you?
That's
are
right.
We, but you know, in our lives today, a lot of times we just all try to get to ourselves, go home, we shut the garage door
and we say
lock the door and come back the next morning, go to work, come back.
And I can't be worried with it. I'm trying to deal with my own life. I'm trying to pay my own bills. I got my own job to work. I got my own kids to raise. I can't be worried about what Phil's doing over there. Am I his keeper?
Yes.
You are.
Yeah. It affects everybody.
That's right.
It affects you. It affects other believers. Also affects God.
That's right. Absolutely.
We may get into that too, if time permitting. Let's move on a little bit. So we talked about the law of Christ, which is ultimately love.
Hmm.
What's next?
Well, it'd be the next verse. Next verse. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So Let me tell you something. For it says that it uses the word for. It's the very first word of this verse, and the for gives a further qualification to someone who's attempting to restore a fallen believer. So not only should spiritual Christians take caution not to fail in not to fall into the same temptation when they're restoring their brothers, but also they should be aware of pride coming into their own thinking. So that means, hey, I'm going to my brother and I'm helping Phil struggling right now, but I come to him with a sense of look, I'll help you, man, and y'all walk with you, but I don't know that I can understand, because I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm something and you're just low. Mm-hmm. You know, you understand that you're struggling right now, but you need me in your life because I'm not going through that. You know what I mean? Yeah, and so that's basically what's being said here.
You elevate yourself above them, and you can't do that. You have to do it with humility. You have to do it with gentleness, and that's why we stated earlier, only those who are walking in God's Spirit can actually do that and be effective in doing that.
Right, it's arrogance when you don't. Mm. It's arrogance, and arrogance keeps you from walking in the place God wants you to walk.
Jimmy, do you find it easy to find sin in others?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that what we do? We sit back and look. Okay, I'm preaching to myself. We sit back. I told you we'd get to this. And we look at what everybody else is doing wrong and the sin that they have, but yet we don't look at our own lives. Hmm. And I think when we do that, when I do that, I'm in a very dangerous position. Very dangerous. And it's almost like I'm elevating myself, looking at others. And how am I going to help somebody else if I'm looking down on them, telling them what they're doing wrong, what they need to stop doing?
And you know what that is? That shows, let me tell you what that shows, and you said we were going to deal with it, but it shows immaturity in Christ, because a deeper maturity in a Christian's life would cause us to be compassionate, would cause us to be kind and treat sinners and those dealing with those type of things with compassion, just like Jesus did. Jesus treated sinners with compassion. He had compassion for them. But we will say, we'll find the sin in other folks' lives, like you said, and not even look at ourselves.
I was having a conversation with a person the other day, and I was going down this road I shouldn't go on. And every time this person would respond, it was, their remarks back were so mature. I would say something, you know, somewhat teetering on fleshly, but I think my heart was right. I really do, but maybe not communicated in the best way possible. And then their remarks back were always seasoned with grace, love, maturity. They were humble. They could see every side of everything and have compassion and understanding. And the whole time I'm thinking, this person is so godly and spiritually mature. And it was actually, I wasn't talking about you. Jimmy said, thank you. So this person was actually quite an inspiration and made me check myself and examine my heart. And anyway, we're always learning.
We're learning. Absolutely. And, Lord, and you know what? We could even know the things that we know and have to be taught it again by somebody. Look, man, I have been taught so much. You know, you and I both have been walking with guys recently, and there's a guy that I've been walking with that has taught me so much. And sometimes we get ourselves to a place where we think we're so spiritually mature, and we start walking with babes, and we start feeding them milk, and they wind up teaching us just as much as we teach them.
Right.
And it's just through their questions. And just through this guy's questions, I have been humbled. I can't tell you how many times. And he's just, you know, asking because he don't know. And I'm like, man. You know, sometimes most of the time, he doesn't even realize that he's done anything or impacted me. But it just makes me stop and think in the back of my mind, my gosh, I'm pathetic. Move on to verse 4. But let each one examine his own work. And then he will have a reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. And so, but let each one examine his own work. So we were talking about arrogance just a second ago. We were talking about how we can approach those who are caught in sin and with arrogance. And so arrogant people need to examine themselves. The word examine means to test something for the purpose of approval. And so the idea is to test, to find out whether it's genuine or to find out whether it's manufactured. And so when we expose ourselves to this, to the Word of God, to the objective Word of God, then we can see ourselves for what we actually are.
So we need to examine, we need to test our attitude and see if we're doing it with the right motive.
That's right.
Are we doing it to make ourselves feel better? When I point your sin out, Jimmy, you know what that makes me feel? Makes me feel pretty good. You know, I'm pretty good.
That's right.
Poor Jimmy. You know, so if my attitude's wrong, then I don't need to do it.
That's right.
And any time that I have the opportunity to speak or talk to anyone, I pray the whole way over there. I really do. And say, Lord, I examine my heart. Why am I doing this today? Am I trying to gain approval? Am I trying to see, am I doing it for the right motive? Am I trying to get any glory whatsoever from what is about to happen? So I examine myself and make sure, and I test my motives and make sure that I'm right.
That's right.
With God.
And that's what you examine, what you just said, your own motives. And that's what the word work here means. Let each one examine his own work. And that's what it's saying here. Your own work means your motives, your behavior, your actions. Mm-hmm. So what do you examine yourself against? You examine yourself in light of Scripture.
Right.
And that's what this is, the unobjective Word of God. It's like you say all the time, Jesus wasn't a respecter of persons. The Word of God is not a respecter of anything as far as it is unobjective. And so you would judge yourself against the Word of God, which is absolutely impartial.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone. So it's valid to rejoice in what God does through us. It's okay for us to rejoice. It's not boasting of saying, look what I've done. It's boasting of saying, look what God has done in me and through me.
Mm-hmm.
God has done this. I didn't do anything.
And he gets all the glory.
That's right.
That's like this past Sunday, when I spoke at Beaver, of course, I had familiar territory, which was Galatians chapter 2. And Paul was saying, the same one that worked through you, Peter, is the same one that worked through me. And the word work there in that context was the Greek word energia, where we get the word energy. So even everything that Paul did and everything that Peter did, okay, God did it through him, and that's spreading the gospel to the Gentiles and Peter to the circumcised. And guess what? When God does it, when God is the energy and he is the power through you, he gets all the glory, every
that's
bit
right.
of it.
That's right. We had a conversation last night at church. Keith Twisdale, you know Keith. He asked him to teach last night, and he did, and so he didn't get through his whole lesson because he's a typical Twisdale. But he got through the first part of it, which was so good, man. He said, you know what? He was going to talk about gifts at being Christmas time, mm-hmm. and how gifts Christmas is surrounded by gifts. He said, why don't we just go around the table, because it was a light night. We had, I don't know, 10, 12 people there, and so adults. And he said, why don't we just go around the table? And he said, you know, we just come off Thanksgiving. We're heading towards Christmas. Talk about what you're thankful for. What's the biggest thing in your life that you're thankful for besides your salvation? Because as a saved person, that's going to be your number one answer. But what are you most thankful for? And think of any childhood memory that you might have had as a kid at Christmas that stands out to you. And so we all did that, man. We had an hour-long conversation that was so good. We got to know each other a little bit better, got to open up to one another. But one of the things that one of the guys did is he talked about a lot of the witnessing that he was able to do, and And afterwards, I overheard him make a comment. He's like, "Man, I just didn't want to talk about myself and sharing the gospel like that, and all. I didn't want to just make it seem like that I did this." And what we're saying right here just brings me back. It brought me back to last night. Is, hey, you know, he was rejoicing because the Lord did it through him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people that he shared the gospel with that come to know Christ, that receive the Lord, it wasn't him boasting last night. It was he was boasting, but he was boasting of what the Lord did through
him. Right, and that's okay to do that.
Right, absolutely, it's okay.
It's a good thing.
It is.
It says also, "For each one shall bear his own load." That sounds almost a little contradictory to what we've read before.
Mm.
We're talking about bearing other loads, and now it says, "For each one shall bear his own load."
Prove his own worth.
What does that mean, Jimmy? Do you know?
So what that means, Phil, is it's bearing his own load here is, yeah, like you said, it seems contradictory until you start looking at the original language.
Right.
It's the same word. It's not the same word. The word burden or carry your own load or burden are two different words in the Greek. One of them is, in verse 2, is the word baros.
Mm-hmm.
Means heavy in weight, burdensome, severe. It's a violent, cruel, and unsparing. That's what it means.
Right.
That's when we're caught in sin. And so that is a very heavy burden.
Very heavy.
It's the word baros. But in verse 5, it's the word
portion.
And it means load. It's the sense of load. So it's the illustration of going about your everyday Christian life, doing your ordinary Christian duties, your ordinary pursuits. It's used. It's kind of like just your regular obligations, your regular Christian obligations. So the word verse 2 speaks of an overburden, but it's your ordinary Christian duties that you don't need help with. It's the verse 2, the burden, the overburden, or the burdensome, heavy load in verse 2 is what you do need help with.
Right.
Does that make sense? Is that clear as mud?
It's clear as mud.
I'm sorry. No,
but I understand what you're saying. So we're all accountable as born-again believers to bear our own load. Even, I mean, the light that Christ gives us, we're responsible for what he gives us, and we're accountable.
There are certain responsibilities that are ours.
Yeah.
That we have to take on ourselves. And then there are things that happen in our lives where we just need help with.
Well, you know, we're accountable to the light that God has given us. We are responsible to the load and maybe the commands that's given in Scripture. Though these commands aren't burdensome, we're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, "Phil, this is what I would like for you to do in your life on planet Earth." So he hands me responsibility.
Right.
And so call it a load. Call it ministry, call it responsibility, call it what you want, but I'm accountable to do it. And even the things that he has given me to do, he says, "Look, you do those. You know what I'm going to do when you get to heaven? I'm going to reward you for the load you carried. Now, when I reward them to you, you know what you're going to do? Because it's all about the glory of my son.
Mm-hmm.
Take them back. Take this load back over all these jewels and crowns and put them at my son's feet."
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
See, let's put it this way, and to give you a clearer picture, I think I confused everybody with that explanation. But really, there's a different word. There's a difference between load and burden. Okay, load refers to personal responsibility, while burden means it's a extremely heavy weight that you cannot carry by yourself. It's impossible mm-hmm. for you to carry by yourself. But load is something that you do carry by yourself.
Yes.
So that's the difference.
And that's why we need each other.
That's right.
We need each other. Well, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be associated with other believers. Well, I like to see you carry that.
That's right.
I don't think you can.
Mm-mm.
That's why we have the church.
That's right.
Last verse, "And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches." You know what I think about when I say that? That's discipleship right there.
That's right.
That's living life with one another.
Fellowship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And so to get back in the context of what Paul is writing to, who he's writing to and what he's writing about, legalistic Judaizers, they were influencing the Galatians to stop supporting the ministry of those who taught them the word.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what Paul's saying here. Let him who's taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches.
Right.
So the word talk carries the idea of giving instruction. So we get this from catechized. That's the Greek word catechized, and we get catechism from that. And that's, you know, some pretty heavy words. But the idea of it is literally him that teaches catalytically.
Yeah. This isn't sharing in financial things. This is sharing in the gospel and... Mm-hmm. You agree?
Yeah, and it is. It's oral teaching. It's what it means. It's just oral teaching. And you share in the good things with those who teaches. Sharing the good things with those who teaches. And the word share means to take part, means to actively share with, whether in evil or good. You're actively sharing in it.
So the mature, the spiritual Christian, he has picked up his brother, his fallen brother, and also builds him up in the word, in whose good things they fellowship together. Look, Jimmy, we need one another. God never intended for us to walk this life alone.
That's right.
It's, I would say, almost impossible to live this life without other believers. I know personally I need accountability. You know, I'm a sinner, and I struggle. You're a sinner. You struggle. And when these sins happen, God has commanded every one of us to go to each other and deal with it. And yes, that is confrontation, but it calls us to do it. And it makes for, and the whole goal in mind is when we go, we do it with gentleness, we do it with humility, we pick each other up, we walk with each other. It's to restore us back to the fellowship with God and with others. So that's why we deal with sin.
Well, let me tell you what the application of this verse can really, really boil down to is Christian fellowship is primarily, before it's with other believers, it's primarily with God and His Word. So if I'm in fellowship with God and I am in fellowship with the Word of God, then I'm able to be in fellowship with Phil the way that I'm intending to be, and God has intended to me to be in fellowship with Phil. And so I have to expose myself to the Word of God and the teaching of God before I can really be accountable or be held accountable to the people of God.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So we have to be in fellowship primarily with God first before we are in fellowship with other people. So in every person in a body, every person in a church body has the personal responsibility to expose themselves to the teaching of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And we deal with sin in the fellowship. We restore each other. We're not called to do that to the world. God will deal with the world when it comes to sin. We don't need to go out to the world and people outside the fellowship and try to get them to do a lot of obeying a lot of rules and regulations. They need to have fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Once they have fellowship with God, then they have fellowship with one another, brethren. And then when sin arises, you deal with it.
That's right.
And the whole goal is to be restored and be in right fellowship and walk in the Spirit. All right. Good lesson today, Jimmy. We're about to close. If you don't know the Lord, just know this. He's holy. He's holy. He's perfect. And we're not.
That's
we're
right.
All sinners, and we will be sinners till the day He comes back. But I'm just thankful that He paid my sin debt. He paid it on the cross. I repented. I turned from my life, and I went to Him, and He forgave me for every sin, all the sin we've been talking about. This is what blows your mind, folks. When you're born again, He don't even see it.
That's right.
Now, it affects our relationship as far as my position. Man, I'm just like Jesus Christ in His eyes because I've been covered with the blood. Repent of your sins. Believe in Jesus Christ. Call out on His name. the word promises he will save you.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right, Jimmy, close us out in prayer, and we'll start in chapter 7 next week.
Or chapter 6, verse 7.
That's right, my bad.
All right, Father, we love you. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. We always tell you that, but we do strongly, strongly mean it. Lord, thank you for giving this opportunity and this platform to dive into your word, to talk about your word, to study your word and its impact on our lives, because it impacts my life. I know it impacts Phil's life as well, just diving into your word and seeing what it means and what it truly means to us. So Lord, thank you for this opportunity. We love you, God. And right now, God, I just want to send our prayers right now and our love to those folks in Gatlinburg who are struggling. Those many people who have lost their homes and they've lost their lives, and they've got family members who are missing right now, right here at the holiday time. Lord, we send our best wishes and our prayers to them, Lord. And we just ask that even though that there's a plan and a purpose from you for this, you have a purpose, a divine purpose in everything that happens. There's nothing, not even a leaf that falls off of a tree under heaven that you don't know about, God. I know you have a purpose, but Lord, we just pray for the struggle that a lot of those are having to go with right now. So God, give them comfort and give them peace during this time. We love you. We lift your name on high. We give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory in the beautiful and sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Go to LifeSongRadio.com to hear the broadcast, and we'll see you back next week for more Life Song Radio.